I want to ask you to take your Bibles this evening and turn to Joshua, Old Testament book, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. Why is there so much complacency in the church today? Think about it. Why are so many Christians satisfied with just floating down the river without really working, without really getting involved, just taking it in? I really believe some Christians think that sitting and listening is a gift. And so that's their gift. They're listeners. They're pew sitters. You know, they come and they sit on the pews and they listen. If you ask them, you say, well, this is my job. You know, that's not a gift. There's more to do in the household of faith than sit and listen. Why is there so much uninvolvement, inactive members? You ever go sometimes just check it out and you say, how many we got on the church membership? They say, we got 586 on the church membership. Oh, how many do we have involved? 37. 37. Yes, the faithful few. They're doing it all. Why is it our churches are filled with religious people and so few born-again servants? Oh, we talk about being a child of the King. Friend, you're a son of a servant if you know Jesus as your Savior. You're the daughter of a servant. Some people are playing games. They call it church. They call it serving the Lord, but it's a big game. That's all it is. And when it's convenient, they do it. And when it's not convenient, there's no commitment. I believe Joshua has a message for us this evening, and I hope, I'm just praying, and I've been praying all afternoon, that the Spirit of God would touch your heart tonight like He touched my heart when I made this note in my Bible, November the 13th, 1983. I got it written right here, and you'll know why I wrote it by the time I get to the end of this message. Joshua chapter 24, I begin reading in verse 14. Now therefore, we'll end our reading right there. That wasn't a long reading, was it? When I was in Bible school, they taught me whenever you see a therefore, you find out what the therefore is there for. Now before we go any further, we got to find out what the therefore is there for. And so we'd have to go back and read the first 13 verses in order to understand what he's about to tell us here. Now, therefore, or on the basis of what I've just said, or the background that I've just given you, I'm going to give you some more instructions. Or I'm going to give you some more detail. Or I'm going to give you a challenge. Now, we won't read those first 13 verses, but let me tell you, you'll probably not find a shorter history of the nation of Israel than you will in Joshua chapter 24. The first 13 verses covers it all. Goes right back to Abraham's father. Brings them right into the promised land, right to where they are. And in verse 13, he wraps the whole thing up, and he says, I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, and of vineyards and olive yards which you did not plant, you do eat. On the background of the goodness and the grace and the powerful delivering hand of Jehovah God, he reminds them of all that God has done for them. Now, therefore, what's he going to tell us? Watch your Bibles. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now there's a key word in this passage, in these two verses. It appears seven times in two verses. And then the next 12 verses is going to appear seven more times. And it's going to appear 14 times in 15 verses. And the word is serve. S-E-R-V-E. Notice it. Fear the Lord and what? Serve Him. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day who you'll serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, as for me and my house, we'll serve. And it goes on. But we stop there for a moment. Very important. Fear is the first thing that he mentions after he reminds them of the goodness and the powerfulness and the grace of God bringing them to where they are. He looks around and says, see all this? See this land of Canaan? You don't deserve that. It's by God's grace you have it. You didn't build those cities. Someone else did, but they're yours. You didn't plant those vineyards. Someone else did, but you're going to eat of them. You didn't labor for any of this. Somebody else did, but you're going to have it. And it is by the grace of God that you're going to have it, reminding them of all that God has done for them. Then he says, don't you forget to fear God. Fear God. Oh, I want to tell you, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Someone says, now don't try to scare us and tell us we ought to be afraid of God. God is a loving God. You know what Paul said to the Hebrews? It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Friend, if you don't know that tonight, I'm going to tell you, you need to learn theology. God is to be feared. My father and I are very close. And I want to tell you today, I still fear my dad. You say, you mean you're afraid he's going to hurt you? No. And that's not the kind of fear the Bible talks about. However, there is that kind of fear. We'll talk about it a little later. But here, this fear is an honor and a respect and a reverence. It's a reverential fear for God. A holy awe ought to come upon us. We said earlier, God's not the old man upstairs. He's not the big daddy with a long white beard saying, now, you naughty children. God needs to be honored. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Respect Him. Honor Him. Give Him the reverence that He is due. And serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And in these two verses, that word is just, it bombards us over and over and over and over again. Serve Him. Serve Him. Reminded them of what their fathers did and who they served and who we should serve. Do you know, Paul tells us this truth. To whom you yield yourself as servants to obey. His servants you are. To whom you obey. Whether of sin under unrighteousness, or sincerity and in truth unto righteousness. The very person that you yield yourself to, the very principle that you yield yourself to, the very one under whom now, tonight, you become a servant, you are his servant to whoever you obey. Who are you obeying tonight? You're obeying yourself. And you say, I do what I want to do. Then you're obeying yourself. You're not obeying God. And ultimately, really, you're obeying the devil. We already talked about that this week. to the one you yield yourself as a servant to. Service here is something that we need to just consider, because I'm going to tell you tonight, you are serving someone, and Jesus Christ says you can't serve two masters. You can't do it. You'll hate the one and you'll love the other. You'll despise the one and you'll obey the other, but you can't serve two masters. Joshua is bringing these people to a crossroad, to a decision. The reason we've got so much complacency, the reason we got so many uninvolved Christians, the reason we got people floating down the river of life and not doing anything, the reason so many people are playing games for Jesus Christ is because they are not logically, rationally, intelligently sitting down, contemplating, considering what it is to serve the Lord and making a choice. Friend, I'm going to bring you to that point tonight. You're not going to be able to walk out of this building tonight without making a choice. Look in verse 15. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, aren't those strong words? I wonder how many people would put their hand up if I said, how many here tonight think that it's evil to serve the Lord? Just raise your hand. I wonder how many people would put their hand up and say, I think it's evil to serve the Lord. I would imagine nobody. That's what I would think. But let me retranslate that. How many of you here tonight think that it's very, very difficult to serve the Lord? How many of you think that that narrow way is just a little bit too narrow for you? How many of you think that the claims of Christ upon your life are just a little bit more demanding than what you want to pay? How many of you have considered the cost of discipleship and said, it costs me too much, I don't believe I want to do it? How many of you say it's too hard, it's wrong, it's out of the question? Well, friend, you know what you're saying. You're saying that it is evil to serve the Lord. What's standing between you and the Lord to serve Him? It would be very possible that of a congregation of this size, there may be some people here this evening that really can't serve the Lord because they've never been saved. They don't know what it is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. They don't know what it is to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ like our brother was sharing he had a few years ago. They don't know what it is to come face to face with the gospel message and by faith receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. You can't serve the Lord. Don't fool yourself. Don't even try, okay? Just forget it. You can't do it. It's impossible. You're not in God's family. You don't have the grace of God. You don't have the strength of God. And in your own strength, you can't do it. The Christian life is an impossible life. That's the reason it is by the grace of God that we can do anything that we do. And yet, on the other hand, there may be some Christians here who had made a good beginning, accepted the Lord. Maybe you got served. Maybe you were serving Him. You got involved in a local church. Something happened. And you got discouraged. And you gave up. And today, the farthest thing from your mind is being active in the service for Jesus Christ. Joshua said, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you'll serve. You know what he's saying? Just be honest with God. Tell God you don't want to serve Him. At least be honest enough with God to do that. Just say, God, I don't like it. I don't want to do it. I'm not willing to do it. It costs me too much and I'm not willing to pay it. And God, I don't want to serve you. You better say that to God. He knows your heart anyhow. Just tell Him, no, I don't want to do it. A few years ago, I had a gospel campaign. It went on for a week, Sunday through Sunday. I went back home, and 2 days later, I got a phone call. One of the ladies that was in the gospel meeting was expecting. She had a beautiful baby, 9 pounds, baby boy. He was born dead. They called me and asked me if I'd come back and take the funeral. I went back. This place was in isolation. No funeral home, no funeral director, no hearse. Family did everything. We went to the hospital, got a little box, a little white box, a little blanket in it. They put the baby in it, put it in the back of an old panel truck, brought it to the chapel, and we had a funeral service. It was packed. Got through with that. We got the little box, put it back in the panel truck, went to the cemetery. The grandfather and his brother had dug the grave. We took that little box and we lowered it down in the grave. We had a committal service. And then they filled the grave up. That's customary there. Everybody stayed. I'll tell you, it's quite an emotional thing for me. That first shovel full of dirt hit that little casket. I just could hardly hold the tears back. And there was silence. There wasn't a child speaking. There must have been over 100 people standing around that grave. And they rounded it off on top, and they packed it with a shovel, and they took a little wooden cross with a little boy's name on it, and they drove it in. We walked away, and I put my hand on the father's shoulder, and I said, "Ronald, it looks final, doesn't it?" I said, "Don't let the devil fool you. It's not final." I said, "You see him again." We went back to the house. And in that house, very humble house, was packed. Matter of fact, so many people came, some just left. They couldn't get in. The mother and the father were there, and they both give a testimony. The mother said, "I wanted to go to those gospel meetings. I didn't want anything to interfere with that. And so I prayed, Lord, don't let this baby come until after the gospel meetings." I talked to the doctor who diagnosed the baby, or did the autopsy on the baby. I said, "What was the cause of death?" He said it was post-mature. That means it went too long in the womb. Now you cannot imagine how that made me feel. Here's a woman who had rather come to the gospel meetings than she had have her baby, and God granted that request to her, and when she had that baby 2 days later, it was post-mature and it was dead. First child. Then the husband, whom I don't guess in 5 years I'd heard say 10 words, in that crowded, humble little room, gave this testimony. He said, "I wasn't interested in coming to the gospel meetings." A believer, yes. He said, "I didn't care whether we went or not." He said, "We had a room fixed up for our first child. We had new wallpaper on it. We had a little crib there. We had the clothes laying over the side of the crib to bring the little child home in. The blanket there. Everything arranged." He said, "They called me to the hospital and told me, and I went there immediately. And," he said, "I just couldn't take it. It was too much." He said, "I had to come home." He said, "I came home. I walked into that empty room." And he said, "I never cried like I cried then. I couldn't stop the tears. I just cried and cried and cried." And he said, "I knelt down right beside that crib. And," he said, "Devil, what have you got for me?" And he said, "Jesus, what have you got for me? Because today I'm going to choose who I'm going to serve." He said, "I waited." He said, "I looked at that empty crib and all that the devil could offer me was death and separation. Then I thought of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, 'Though ye are dead, yet shall ye live.'" And he said, "Right then and there, I chose to serve Jesus Christ is my Savior. I'm not suggesting that you try that or that you do that. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe there'd be someone in this congregation tonight that's never made an intelligent, rational, logical decision to even decide what you're going to do. You're just floating. You haven't been brought to that crossroads yet. You're just hoping everything's going to turn out. Joshua says, don't you remember all that God has done for you? Therefore, choose you this day who you will serve. This day, there was an urgency about it. Who is on the Lord's side, he said. Come over and make your stand. Will you choose other gods, other things, or will you choose the Lord? You know what Joshua said? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I wonder how many fathers could say that tonight. Joshua, I'm telling you, we need more men like Joshua. Joshua was a man of decision. Joshua said, as for me. And then he spoke for his household. And my house, we will serve the Lord. He was a man of decision. We need men of decision today. Joshua was a man of determination. He said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua knew what it would take. Joshua knew that it meant business. Joshua knew it wasn't playing games. Joshua knew he'd come to a crossroad and he was taking sides with God. A man of decision. A man of determination. Do we have any men of determination here tonight that'll say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? Nothing is going to distract us. Nothing is going to deviate us. Nothing is going to hinder us from doing the will of God. By the grace of God, we will serve the Lord. He was a man of devotion as well. We'll serve the Lord. We need men like Joshua tonight, who will take sides with God, who will choose. And Joshua says to these people, I'm bringing you to a crossroad, and I want you to choose. Now watch the response of the people. It's very important. Look in verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Friend, that's exactly what you have to do, though. You have to forsake the Lord to serve other gods. Remember, you can't serve two masters. Then the people remind themselves. Joshua's already reminded them of what God has done for him. Now the people remind themselves of what God has done for him. Look in verse 17. For the Lord our God, He it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. What's their conclusion? Therefore, we will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. And you know, all we can say is, great! They're choosing the Lord. God, Joshua's brought them to a crossroad. He said, it's urgent. Decide. Remember what God has done. Make an intelligent decision. What are you going to do? And they say, we're with you, Joshua. The Lord's on our side and we're on His side. And everybody shouts amen, and that's great. You know what Joshua says? I've heard the wind blow before. That's right. Joshua says, your words mean absolutely nothing to me. Nothing. Look at Joshua's response. Verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, For he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he had done you good. Joshua said to those people, I have heard you make this commitment over and over and over again. I am absolutely sick of it. I'm tired of it. Don't even say it. You ever make a commitment you didn't keep? You ever go to a conference or hear some preacher and you get all wound up and all excited and all emotional? You say, I'm on the Lord's side. I'm really going to do it. This is great. And you don't mean it. Because your life proves that you didn't mean it. You just went out and you were just the same. Nothing. Maybe a couple of days. Maybe a week. But you fell right back into the same rut. Joshua had seen it. Joshua had heard it. Joshua had experienced it. And these people said, we want to serve the Lord too. Joshua said, you can't do it. Bringing them to a crossroad. Words are cheap. It's not what we say. It's what we do. You know what James says? Some people say James presents a gospel of works. No, he doesn't. Let me tell you what James says. James says, if a man says he has faith and has not works, can faith save him? You know what he's saying? Now, be very careful. You've got to interpret this in the context. If a man says with his mouth that he has faith, but with his life there's no proof that there is it, that there is any faith, can faith, what kind of faith? Saying faith. Can just saying it save you? No, just saying it can't save you. These people couldn't, they can make a commitment to the Lord, but it doesn't mean they're going to live up to it. They can say, oh, we'll serve God. That's great. That's absolutely great. What are you going to do with it? Is it going to change your life? Is it going to make a difference in your life? Are you just going to say it? I suppose for every Christian that's here tonight, I say, how many want to serve the Lord? I suppose almost every hand would go up. But how many indeed will? Joshua said, you can't do it. God's holy. God is jealous. Then just saying it won't work. You got to really mean it and really do it. Now look at the people, they're insistent. Verse 21, the people saying to Joshua, no, Joshua, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua says this in 22, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. They agree. So I suppose if we wanted to reenact this whole setting here tonight, the best way we could do it is I would say this. How many of you want to serve the Lord? And so you'd raise your hand. And so I'd say, okay, come down here then and make a public testimony of that in front of all of these people tonight that indeed you, with your life, want to dedicate your life completely to the service of the Lord. And you would agree to that and you'd come and do it. Now that's what Joshua's saying to them. Joshua said, if you mean that, you are witnesses against yourself. And they said, yeah, we're witnesses. We agree to that. We'll do that. You know what? Some of you, your heart's beating a little bit faster right now because you think I'm going to do that and you don't know how you'd respond. Isn't that true? Preachers just keep you guessing, don't they? And you'd say, now wait a minute, I don't have to get up and come down here just to prove the preacher's point. No, you don't. Don't forget, I haven't asked you yet. But would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to be a witness against yourself and make a public testimony that you choose to serve the Lord? These people said yes, they would. Notice Joshua again in 23. Joshua says, now therefore put away, saith he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. Back over in our first verses, he talked about the gods which their fathers served. He talks about the gods which the Amorites served. Here he says, put away these strange gods. And I'm going to tell you something. We do have indeed some strange gods that we serve. Bright, shiny, high gloss, paint chrome, gold, and silver in many, many forms and shapes. And we live for it. We can't get along without it. It is the pride of our life. And if we didn't have one to drive into Elam Lodge so that others would notice, we would feel like that we were just low down on the totem pole. Strange gods and deeds, houses and lands, movie stars, cars, TV, stereos, plastics and veneers, we were talking about them. Things that don't move, don't hear, don't understand, can't love, can't help, can't meet us. But we live for them. I wonder how many people would give up coming to the Sunday night meeting before they give up the color TV in the bedroom. I wonder how many would give up serving the Lord at one midweek meeting before they'd give up the second automobile. I wonder how many people are spending equivalent time serving God as they are watching TV. Someone said, now what's wrong with TV? I said, nothing wrong with TV. I said, just make a deal with God that you will read your Bible and pray hour for hour for every TV hour you watch. I tell you what, you know what? Most people don't do that. I don't know anybody that does it. I mean, anybody that watches TV a lot, you know, 2-3 hours a night, you're going to read your Bible and pray 2-3 hours a night? I mean, what are we doing? Are we serving strange gods? Serving our own bellies, the Bible says. Our own lust, our own desires, craving for things that are not the things of God. You want to serve the Lord? Put them away. That's simple. I can't put it any simpler, friend. Get rid of it. Put it away. Get it out of your life. It's hindering you from serving God. These people are insistent. Look in verse 24. The people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. And you can't do it any other way. You cannot serve God without obedience. We talked about that this morning. It is better to obey than to sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ himself said, the one that wants to be my disciple, he must not only have my commandments, but he must keep my commandments, or you can't be his disciple. You must hate everything else and love God if you want to be his disciple. Someone said, you mean I hate my mother, I hate my father, I hate my wife, I hate my children? Yes, in comparison, that is true. That your love for Jesus Christ is so great that the other seems like hate. That's what it costs you, friend. I didn't say it's going to be easy, but I'm saying that's what God wants you to do. These people say we'll do it. Verse 25, Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and he set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem, and Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law, and he took a great stone, and he set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Tabernacle was a place of worship. There was a route, a normal route that they went to go to that place of worship. And between the tabernacle and that route was an oak tree. And Joshua took a big stone. I don't know how big it was, but you could see it. It was recognizable. And he set that stone under that oak. And every time the people of Israel came to that tabernacle or passed by that way, they saw that stone. You know what it reminded them of? Today, or that was the day that I chose to serve the Lord and gave him my life completely, without hesitation, surrendered all. That was the day. It reminds me of that. It jolts me. It tells me that I made that commitment so that I won't forget God, so that I won't deny him. It was a continual reminder. Do you know now why in November the 13th, 1983, that I wrote in the margin of my Bible, today I choose to serve the Lord, and I sign my name. You say, Joe, didn't you choose to serve the Lord before that? Yes, I did. But that's the rock under the oak for me. And I'll tell you, maybe some of you need to go get a rock and put it under an oak somewhere. Some people have a special place they go. Maybe it's a little winding path by the creek. Maybe it's up on the mountain. Maybe it's in the quietness of your study. I don't know. But maybe some of you here tonight need to make that decision to choose the Lord, and maybe you need to set a rock under an oak. Maybe you need to just do like me and make that choice tonight and just write it in the margin of your Bible. And every time you turn past that page, it just jumps out at you and says, Joe, you remember that commitment you made? Do you remember when you surrendered all? Do you remember when you say, today I choose, I know what I'm doing, I know it's going to cost me more than my money, I know it's going to cost me more than my wealth, my health, it's going to cost me everything that I have, my life. You're willing to pay it? It's a high price. But that's exactly what Christ gave for you. You expect to get by with anything cheaper? It won't work. No shortcuts. There are no cheap payments. It'll cost you everything you are. And if you're not willing to do it, just tell God, okay? Just tell Him, God, I'm not willing. But then I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. God, make me willing to be willing. If you're not willing, just pray this prayer. God, make me willing to be willing. You know what the last verse that I'm going to read tonight says? Verse 28. So Joshua let the people depart, every man to his own inheritance. In the land of Canaan, it was all marked off. Every family had an inheritance. And tonight, as a believer, you too have an inheritance. You have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled, reserved in heaven for you that fadeth not away. Those of you who are kept by the power of God through faith in Jesus Christ, that's great, but you've got another inheritance. You've got a gift and an ability that the Holy Spirit and God Himself has given you, and you've been placed into the body of Christ to function effectively in that place. That's your inheritance here on this earth. Now, I'm going to release you to your inheritance tonight if you know Christ. What will you do with it? How will you respond to it? Will you choose tonight to serve the Lord? All of our ministry this week really has been focusing on commitment. From hearing Haggai say, consider your ways, right down to realizing what we are in Jesus Christ and all the potential that we have. Remembering that we are to deal with sin in our life and fix our gaze on the Lord Jesus. Choose you this night whom you will serve. Now, when you walk out tonight, do something. Now, you must do it. Not to choose is to choose. If you don't choose the Lord, I want you to know you're choosing the devil. There's no middle ground. Tonight, as you walk out, say to yourself when you walk out of that door, what am I choosing? And then answer it. Answer it before God. May God help you. May He encourage you. If I can help you, pray with you, show you anything, that's what I'm here for. I'm thankful to the Lord. Last night, a 14-year-old lad was honest enough to say that he wasn't saved. You know what? The Lord saved him. That's right. Maybe you're not that honest. Well, if you're not, you're probably not going to be saved. Maybe you're a believer and you're not that honest. And if you're not honest enough to tell God you hadn't been serving Him because you didn't want to, and ask for His grace and forgiveness, then you're not going to serve Him when you walk out of that door tonight either. It'll wear off, friend, I'll tell you, in 2 or 3 days or a week you won't have it. But if God stirs your heart, you won't be able to get away from it. Let us pray.